My dearly beloved in Christ, I would like to speak about two topics briefly this morning. And the first is suggested to us by the new calendar year. By the grace of God, we have seen the beginning of the year of our Lord, 2024. And we give thanks to God for the past year, all the blessings that he gave us, the life, the health, and again, above all, the blessings and graces, actual graces, that we have received. And at the beginning of a new year, we are inclined to ask ourselves, how much more time will God give me in this world? Time is a very precious gift. And we know that our time is limited. It will not last forever. Sooner or later, God will call us out of this world to render an account of our thoughts, words, and deeds before his judgment seat and to receive the sentence of our place for eternity. And so that thought, that sober thought of the limit to the time that is given to us should inspire us to make some good resolutions for this year. What we hope to accomplish. And can we say that we are better off spiritually? We're better off on January 1st of 2024 than we were a year ago on this day. That we used the time of this past year to progress in the spiritual life, in the practice of virtue, in conquering sin. Can we say that we are better off, or God forbid, worse? And that is a very important thought, that we might use the time that God gives us. How many people there are in the world who squander time? They waste it, that precious gift of time. So we do not know how many years we will have on this earth. Likely, there is one of us here who won't see the beginning of the next year. Chances are, God will call one or several of us out of the world during this year. So let us use the time to prepare for eternity, to earn our place in heaven, to overcome sin and temptation, to practice virtue. So that's the first thought, a very important thought. The second topic has to do with our Blessed Mother. And it's interesting, if you read the wonderful work called The Liturgical Year by Abbot Geringer, it's a very lengthy work, 15 volumes, going through the liturgy and the history of the liturgy and the spirit of the liturgy of the various feast days, etc. But he says in there that at one time, in the Middle Ages, there were actually two masses on January 1st. And by that I mean two sets of propers, with a separate epistle and gospel and the collect and the introit and those proper parts of the Mass. There were two different Masses. One of them was in honor of our Lord, the octave day of the Nativity, his circumcision, his holy name. The other Mass was in honor of Our Lady, her maternity. Because we think of our Lord's birth, obviously our Blessed Mother had a unique and indispensable role in bringing him into the world. And St. Louis Marie de Montfort says something important, said something significant, and that is, we should go to God by the same channel through which he came to us. And how did he come to us? He was born of a virgin. The divine office that the priest prays still has remnants of this former feast of Our Lady, many antiphones and prayers, etc. In the Mass, you notice the collect of the Mass, that be the prayer that is said, chanted today, right before the epistle, and then also the post-communion, which is the last prayer, both of them refer to our Blessed Mother. And again, this is a remnant of that fact that there was a separate Mass to honor Our Lady's maternity on the octave day of the Nativity. One of the interesting antiphones in the Divine Office has to do with the burning bush which Moses saw. And the antiphon, to paraphrase, is something like this, that the bush which Moses saw, the burning bush, yet not consumed, that in this bush we have a type of thy virginity, O Mary. Because again, her virginity was unsullied by the birth of her divine son. It remained intact, just as that bush was burning, yet wasn't consumed. So the church uses that as a symbol of Our Lady's virginity, her ever virginity. And we can only try to understand just a little bit of the union between our Blessed Mother and her divine son. Mothers can understand the love and the union that unites them with their children, the children that they bore, that they gave birth to, that they cared for. And what a strong bond that is between a mother and her child. But what about the Blessed Virgin Mary, whose son was also her God? And she, who was the most perfect of creatures, sinless, and loved God so much, was so united to him beyond what we could conceive. And so again, the thought that comes to us is what St. Louis says, to go back to God by the same channel through which he came to us, to have a very deep, strong, tender devotion to our Blessed Mother. Let us make that one of our goals for this new year, to grow in our devotion to our Blessed Mother, to love her, to imitate her, to esteem her, to honor her in every way that we can. And that by means of that devotion, she will lead us to a union with her divine son and to the place in heaven that he has destined for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.